It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, a very special episode as we're previewing the really big game tonight at Williams Arena at Menchie's Coliseum as the Pirates are hosting the Memphis Tigers. And the game time tonight is 7 o'clock. And, of course, you can watch all that exciting action on television. And you'll have Evan Lepler and Nate Ross, our good friend of the program, on ESPN3. And, of course, our good friends at the Pirate IMG Sports Network, play-by-play Jeff Charles and Cy Seymour, and David Horn twisting the dials as well. That's going to be a huge game tonight. Pirates are 9-14 on the year and 2-9 in the conference play, as the Memphis Tigers are 14-10 on the year, 6-5, and the Tigers bring in Penny Hardaway, the great guard there at Memphis. And, of course, he now is coming back home, and he is the NBA legend that he is, and it's going to be tremendous tonight. We need a huge crowd at Williams Arena. Again, you can walk up and get tickets tonight if you want at the box office. A lot of people are going to be there, and it's going to be exciting. We're very excited, by the way, to have the Executive Associate Athletics Director for External Operations, Ryan Robinson, and we'll be talking to Ryan exactly what he does. We're very excited to have him, though, and he'll be coming up later in the show. It's going to be tremendous to have him, and he's one of those guys that that is a hot commodity when it comes to athletic administration, no matter what level. He was at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we'll be talking about that later on. Very excited to have him. He's one of the big name guests, if you will, in Pirate Nation. A lot of people around Greenville and Pirate Nation are really bragging about him, so very appreciative of his time that we'll have with him, and that's coming up in a little while. But right now we're talking basketball. I know a disappointing loss. You know, Bubba, I want to bring Bubba Rosenbaum in now. Bubba, watching that game Sunday night, very disappointing loss to USF. We had led them in Greenville and led them, of course, USF on Sunday afternoon, and it was such a disappointing loss, kind of like Memphis, right?
Yeah, Dave, taking a look back at Sunday's heartbreaking 72-68 loss down at USF, it was very much like the Memphis game. It's ironic, the Pirates playing Memphis again tonight. But that game at USF, it was a game in which the Pirates led by 13 before the final possession of the half, took an 11-point lead into the break, and then USF hit us with a run right out of the locker room, and then it was back and forth throughout the remainder of the second half after they cut it down and took the lead. We did a good job of staying in there, and we should have won the game in regulation, honestly, but then it went into overtime, and then in overtime we had three guys that had fouled out. I think a couple of those were in regulation, so we're down a couple of our top scorers in overtime, lost another guy in overtime. Those three guys who fouled out were three of the four guys who scored in double figures in the game: Isaac Fleming, also Jaden Gardner, and KJ Davis. The only one of the four double figure scorers that did not foul out was Sean Williams. So we're really hamstrung in overtime as far as finding out where the points were going to come from outside of Sean Williams. Some bright spots from the game: that's what we only turned the ball over 9 times as compared to 20 for USF. On the negative side of things, that's what we got absolutely hammered on the boards, 46-22. That's right. The Bulls out-rebounded the Pirates by 24 on Sunday afternoon down in Tampa.
I want to give my thoughts on Sunday's game starting off with. I was just really disappointed. So excited, Bubba, you know, with the game. It was I couldn't believe how well the Pirates started out. We're up 11 at halftime, and then, of course, you expected, of course, USF with Gregory's team, they're going to make a run. Basketball is a game of runs. I knew that was going to happen. But I really felt like that we're going to pull that one out. And then that elbow to Dimitri was just unbelievable that they called a foul on him. One of the egregious errors of college officiating this year. And I'll leave that one alone. I guess everybody knows my feeling on college basketball officiating. But that was just atrocious that they would call a foul on him. Then you got to find a way to deal with adversity. I think one of the things that comes to mind is this team, they're young. We have to remind ourselves They just started playing together back literally in November. They haven't been together long. We had a few pieces missing last year. No excuses. Joe Dooley is great in doing that. We had the effort. The effort was definitely there. Three-point shooting much, much better. I'm very happy about that. And I know that we can do a lot better as well coming up for this year. I think what we have to realize is to be patient. I think some fans are not being patient with Joe Dooley, which is crazy. I don't think that's a high percentage. I think you have to know that, as he did, this was going to be a huge project for him to rebuild this program and build a culture that we've never had before. When you look at the likes of Rafael Chilias, so you look at Steve Rockeford, you look at Ken Potasnik, I mean, that rock star staff is the best we've ever had. You've heard me say that a lot, but I really feel that's the case. And you're looking at now where we've got to get behind this team. We got to support them. We've got to show up as much as we can. There's a lot of you, I know you have lives, but we've got to do a really good job of that. So that's what we're going to try to do. We can do our part to show up, buy tickets, season tickets. Like I said, if you can't be every game, buy it as many games as you can, because Joe Dooley is awesome, and he's building something special here. You look at the recruiting they've done, Bubba, it's been tremendous, and I can't wait to the future is bright, just like the old song, the future's so bright. I got to wear shades, $10.03. I don't know if you remember that song, Bubba. You're probably too young to remember that. But the future is very bright for East Carolina. I think you've got to look at John Gilbert. You look at everybody. We're going to have Ryan Robinson on in just a little bit. And what the new staff, it's been a breath of fresh air. The folks that are in the Ward building are so excited to have the new administration, to have these coaches, all the new people here. There's a lot of great people inside the Ward building that suffered for a few years in the previous administration, and now they have the likes of Joe Dooley. They have Cliff Godwin, of course. And when you bring in Mike Houston and his staff, there's so many great things happening at East Carolina. I'm so excited. And, of course, I know, Bubba, you want to chime in more about the basketball game.
But, yeah, Dave, like I was mentioning earlier, this game was very similar to that Memphis game back on January 10th. The Pirates had a double-digit first-half lead, were playing very well, shooting the basketball well. Then they cooled off. Memphis, in that case, made a run. USF did the same thing on Sunday afternoon. The Pirates did a little bit better job this time of hanging around and taking it down to the wire. But were just unable to make the plays necessary to win the basketball game. Overall, I was not surprised that it was a closely contested ball game, particularly with Alexis Yetna out. He was the 6'8 Frenchman who had 28 points and 13 boards in the first matchup 2 weeks ago in Greenville. So overall, it was something I think it was a performance that the program can build on. And it's certainly not a moral victory. It's a ball game that we should have won, but coming off a game against Wichita State in which the effort was lackluster, I think it was a step back in the right direction toward where we need to be to be a winning basketball program.
All right, so let's move now to that. Now that we've talked about the disappointing loss in Tampa at USF with the Bulls, we can't do anything about that. Let's talk about tonight's matchup with Memphis. We'll do a little bit now. We have Ryan Robinson coming a little bit. And we want to get to him. He's patiently waiting, so we want to get to him in just a second. Talking about tonight's game with Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers as they come into Williams Arena at Menchie's Coliseum. It's going to be a great atmosphere. I think that even though it's a midweek kind of game, it's a conference game. And if you look at the schedule coming up, guys, with Bubba, you're looking at tonight with Memphis on ESPN3. You have tonight's game and, of course, a homestand, if you will, because Sunday's game is huge. Tulsa, 2 p.m., and we'll be talking more about it. It's a very special day, and maybe we can talk about that in a little while after Ryan Robinson, Bubba. But Tulsa, that's going to be on ESPN3 as well. You have at Tulane, you have Houston. So these next three games you're looking at are going to be huge for the Pirates. I think that at Tulsa, and then at Wichita State, and then you have UConn will round out the last, let's see, that's 7 games left of, that's all we have left of the conference season, hard to believe, but only 7 games left. So we've definitely got to get it done. And I feel like this is, I hate to use the term must win. Memphis is really good, but we've got to win this one tonight. That 10th win, the magical number of 10 is we're down to 1. And then what I mean by that is we need to get at least 10 wins. That's what we got last year. I think this team has 13 or 14 wins in them. Somehow, some way, maybe we can get it done. I was hoping for 500. I think a couple, two or three games under 500 is what this team is going to, unfortunately, the two USF games, you look at the Memphis game, you look at, of course, the early on in the year with the buzzer beater, James Madison, that was a devastating loss, the loss to High Point as well. Several games there that we could have, should have, would have, and we didn't. But this team is finding a way to win. And you know, Bubba, and with this team, it's a lot of great pieces, and with a great recruiting, great things, as we were talking about earlier, are looking ahead. But I wanted to get your thoughts on first look, if you will, on tonight's game.
The last time these two clubs met was back on January 10th out in Memphis at the FedEx Forum. The Pirates lost that one 78-72, just unable to hold on in the second half after holding a four-point halftime lead and leading by as many as 15 in the first half of play. In that game, ECU did a tremendous job on the boards. They had a 44-31 rebound advantage over the Tigers. The Pirates put five players in double figures. Memphis actually put six in double figures. And Memphis's players in double figures, guys you really need to keep an eye on. The little guard, Tyler Harris, he can absolutely shoot the lights out. He's a former Kentucky commit. And then you also had Davenport and Bruton, who had 14 and 13 points, and Davenport had a double-double as he also pulled down 11 rebounds. The Memphis Tigers coming in with a 14 and 10 record, and they're really needing to have a strong finish to the season in order to secure an NIT bid. At this point, an NCAA bid, unless they win the tournament, which they are hosting, so it's certainly not out of the question, but an NCAA bid otherwise, an at-large bid, if you will, is definitely out of the question for this year under first-year head coach Penny Hardaway. Like I said, in that first matchup, and the Pirates had five players scoring double figures, and we're going to need probably at least four to score in double figures tonight in order to pull off the upset against the Tigers. Jaden Gardner in that first game, he had 18 points and 8 rebounds. You had Seth Lede, who had 14 and 10. K.J. Davis had 12 points and also a career-high 12 rebounds. So you had two guys that had double-doubles, and nearly a third, as Jaden Gardner was only two rebounds shy of a double-double. You also had Isaac Fleming score 12 points, and Sean Williams finished with 10. So it's going to take a tremendous team effort, much like that first meeting, and you're going to need to hold your own on the glass, not necessarily hold a 44-31 edge like the Pirates did the first time, because rest assured that Penny Hardaway's club, he'll probably have those numbers 44-31 written on the whiteboard in the locker room tonight, and those numbers have been driven into the Tigers' heads since then, I assure you. But that's something the Pirates got out rebounded, like we mentioned earlier in our USF recap, 46-22 on Sunday. So that absolutely cannot happen tonight if ECU is going to have a chance at knocking off Memphis in Menchie's. Dave, I tell you one more thing that's going to have to happen tonight in order for ECU to pull off this mild upset over the Memphis Tigers, and that is ECU is going to have to shoot the three better than they did out in Memphis. The Pirates were only 4 out of 22 from deep in that ball game, and in the game against Cincinnati that the Pirates won at home, they were able to knock down 9 or 10 threes. So Sean Williams, KJ Davis, and company are going to need to shoot it better from deep tonight for ECU to get the dub.
Very excited to have our next guest here on the Sports Objective. Actually, we got an early Christmas present. He was hired December 21st at East Carolina. Of course, I'm talking about Ryan Robinson. He was named the Executive Associate Athletics Director for External Operations in East Carolina. Ryan, thank you so much. Been wanting to have you on for a while now.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on, and anything we can do to promote what's going on here on East Carolina's campus for athletics and university, it's an honor.
I want to get a little bit about, for folks that they don't know Ryan Robinson, can you give a little background what you've been doing? I know you've been doing great things at every stop you've been at.
Well, I did do a little research on you, Dave, and realize that you're a Duke fan at times, too. I went to the University of Kentucky, so 1992 still sticks a dagger in my heart when Christian Laettner made that shot. But I was a Kentucky grad and started really working with the Kentucky basketball team, actually when Rick Pitino was there, and which he did an unbelievable job turning around. But the Duke game, every time I come back to the Carolinas and have to drive by Durham, it does stick a dagger in me a little bit. But most of my career has been in the NFL, public relations in the NFL, which I really enjoyed. And probably about 6 years ago, kind of made the decision that I wanted to get into athletics administration. And Dave Hart recruited me to Tennessee to be on his executive leadership team, and it was life-changing. I learned a lot about college athletics, everything that went into it, not only media relations, but the marketing and the broadcasting, ticketing, and worked at Tennessee for, I guess, 4.5 years. And then when John Gilbert got this position, I'd do anything for John Gilbert. Worked with him at Tennessee, and when he asked me to come on board, it was a no-brainer. Because I know what he stands for. He's a man of integrity, honest, and he's always going to do what's best for this department and our student athletes. So it is really exciting to be, first of all, be living in Greenville. What a great community.
Wanted to ask you about both things, so you read my mind. Talk about John Gilbert. I know that we were the one that really were on the forefront, and a lot of people thought we were just it was rumors, but we got a tip that he was going to be the athletic director, and I'm glad we stood by our story. But can you talk about him? I've really loved talking to him, and I just felt with him a sense of ease. I know he's the athletic director, director for athletics East Carolina, but it didn't come across that way, meaning that he was a very professional person, but he was kind of like he could be sitting in your living room and you'd feel very comfortable with him.
Yeah, John, you know, he's a family man. He's got an unbelievable daughter in college, son here that he's enrolled, just an unbelievable wife that was a former student athlete, I believe, at Alabama. But, you know, John is – we have the same beliefs where, you know, he knows how to build trust and build a culture. And he's a guy that, you know, if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do what he says. And he is. He's easygoing, but don't mistake that for a man that's he's going to hold people accountable. And what I really like is he's got a vision. I mean, he knows what we have to do at East Carolina. I mean, let's not make a secret. One of the top priorities is getting our football program back on track. That drives a lot. So he's not going to mince words, but I think everybody is going to enjoy working for him because he's open, he's direct, and he's just like me in the fact we both believe wholeheartedly in transparency. There are no secrets and East Carolina athletics. We want, you know, our fans to kind of come on this journey with us. And John and I talk about all the time that means when we lose, we want you to hurt too. When we go through these challenges, it's going to hurt. But, man, when we win, we want you to celebrate with us. So he's building the right culture. It does take time. There's a process. And right now, John is, you know, I had a meeting with him yesterday, and he's really looking at, okay, let's look at everything. How can we improve it? Make sure we're being, you know, financially responsible. But it's hard to have patience. You know I talk to Coach Houston all the time. Patience is not one of his strong suits. But at the end of the day, Dave, we want to have, and John's goal, we want to have sustained success. You don't want to be a one-hit wonder. We want to build our programs where they're going to succeed, kind of like what Cliff Godwin's done. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the baseball program, that is sustained success. And that's what we've got to do for all of our sports teams moving forward.
Ryan, by the way, joining us now, one of the co-hosts you were talking to, we were talking about before the interview started, is Bubba Rosenbaum. Bubba, thanks for coming in, man.
How you doing, Bubba?
I'm glad to be here. Good to meet you, Ryan. That's what I really enjoyed your interviews that you've had on Pirate Radio. I believe you're on the Brian Bailey Show as well as PRL. And I think you've also been on 94.3 The Game. Really enjoyed the things you had to say. And I'm very excited about you being in Greenville. One of the things that I heard you allude to in one of those interviews was just talking about the graphics and then also like the concessions, some of the game day presentation things inside Williams Arena, Minshew's Coliseum that needed to be improved. Now, I noticed the first game that I came to this year against James Madison, just how the graphics with our Adidas brand pattern, if you will, that was something that I really liked. For instance, around the concession stand and then also the merchandise stand.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying, and to be honest with you, Bubba, I mean, that's one of the main things we're looking at is concession prices. I mean, you know, we understand it's a revenue source, but we've got to get people. I mean, let's not hold back here. I mean, we've lost in football. We've lost 10,000 season ticket holders in the last 9 years. So we have to get them back, and that's on us. That's nobody's. You know, I'm not blaming fans. That's on us. We have to give them a venue where they come to men's, women's basketball, baseball, football, whatever, where they want to come back. They want to bring their kids, and they want to come back. That's concession prices. That's music. That's fan engagement. We have to look at all that, you know, how they're coming in. Now, this new tower is going to be a really great addition to the football environment. Just the other day, I walked with Coach Houston. We've been looking at, you know, the Pirate Walk, and his main thing is how can we engage fans before the game? He wants them to be a part of it. Minji's has been great. I think the one thing I've learned is how important the students is. When they come to Minji's, it really changes the atmosphere. So we need that. But we have, I mean, I tell people this all the time. This is an SEC-type city. I mean, the fan base is unbelievable. And they're going to support us, but we got to give them something to support. And that's what we're doing. Our coaches and student-athletes, I mean, they're working so hard. I'm so excited for tonight, first of all, against Memphis. Yeah. And then I'm excited to kind of start baseball. So there's a lot of good things going on here. You know, we're building a new weight room for all of our student-athletes. We're going to be building a new auxiliary field so we have more practice fields for our athletes. You know, opening day is on Friday. I think last weekend, what I was so excited about, you know, really the first big weekend in spring, we went 11-2 in our sports, 5-0 at home. So, and our basketball team, I mean, you look, they fought their butts off against USF, and I'm not going to talk about some of the calls that happened, but it could have went either way.
No doubt about an elbow to the face, but it was a foul. But anyway, I'll leave that one.
Dave,
I don't want to get in trouble.
Dave, while we're on the topic of graphics and things along
yeah,
those
– Yeah, I need to hit on that. Yeah, go ahead.
Along those lines, I know some of the improvements, in addition to the ones I've already mentioned, were some of the things that Coach Dooley did in the Smith-Williams practice facility. In the Smith-Williams Center, you had the banners with the – Yes, we've only been to the NCAA tournament twice, but he recognized that and then had the one that's saying, who's next? He did some other things. So kind of along those same lines, within Dowdy Ficklin Stadium here in the last couple years, after several years where it had been in much debate and many people saying that this was needed, you have the Ring of Honor where the All-Americans, excuse me, were recognized.
Yeah.
So is that something maybe under the stadium we're going to see some type of, you know, like the mural that you have at Clark LeClaire Stadium right there at the steps? Could we see some things like that, recognizing our bowl teams and All-Americans and those sorts of things?
Yeah, and there's two or three prongs to that, because one of it is Coach Houston's kind of redoing the football offices, which, you know, trying to get a lot of the NFL stuff, because really what's important at the end of the day, fellas, is recruiting. We call it, you know, what is the recruiting walk? So when these parents and these kids are coming up to meet Coach Houston, you know, people might not understand, but the football office is important to have the right graphics, to have what's going to stand out to 18 and 19-year-olds. And I'm glad you mentioned Coach Dooley, because he has done an amazing job. Yesterday I was in their lobby. The lobby to the basketball offices is outstanding, and he's really focused on that. And then Coach Dooley is going to do a great job with our basketball team. He just needs time, and I'm excited about that. But you're right, Bubba. Graphics, it's everything now. It's changed. Graphics and social media are so important. You know, when I was at the University of Tennessee, they have four people in their graphics department. And probably three people on the social media. We don't have those resources. Now, we are going to make additions so where we can go around, like what Bubba was saying, and say, hey, we need something here at the football stadium. We need to put this photo up. That is where the visual is so important. But, I mean, graphics, sometimes, probably 3 years ago, people would laugh at me when I said, hey, we need to add some graphics. Oh, we don't need that. But listen, every major college football program and basketball – that's how they're recruiting. I mean, they're sending out graphics, social media, everything digital. Not a lot of people want to receive mail anymore. So we gotta be cutting edge, and we got work to do. But the great thing is we got a staff. The staff that's been here, they're all on board. I mean, these guys are fired up, and they see my energy. I mean, I wake up with energy, so I don't need coffee to get going. So you're going to see a lot of things for football, Bubba, that we haven't made a final decision on. But one of the things is you're probably going to see is maybe a different entrance for the team into the stadium.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's some breaking news.
Dave, I have a funny quick story. You're talking about the impact of the Pirate Walk, Ryan. And you know, I guess this was back, it would have been in either 06 or 07, because Pirate fans that have been around for a decade plus, they remember that 2008 game against Virginia Tech down at Bank of America Stadium, where T.J. Lee blocked a punt and he scooped it up and scored for the winning touchdown. So, funny story, T.J. Lee was on his visit. I had a close buddy on the team. He called me and said, hey, T.J. Lee, the guy we really want, he's down between us and Louisville. Make a big deal when he comes through. He'll be walking near so-and-so when we do the Pirate Walk. And back then it was done on that access road there along the practice field by the white lot coming from Clark LeClaire. So that's where they did it then. Not the best venue, in my opinion, but – nonetheless, we made a huge deal, and within the next few weeks or whatever, T.J. Lee committed to the Pirates. So,
the Pirate Walk, I mean, you know, I come from Tennessee where the Vol Walk is, I mean, it's like an appointment viewing for fans. And now I do think if you look at this new tower and the way it's going to be, you know, I would like for the Pirate Walk to be somewhere around that. So we're looking at everything, but, hey, listen, East Carolina – I mean, it has some of the greatest traditions in college football. So we don't want to lose those, and some of those we need to bring back. I mean, one of the things that I'm so excited about is the pigskin pigout that we're going to have, and we're trying to bring it back bigger and better around the spring game. I really would like to see a huge crowd at the spring game because I think it really set the tone for Coach Houston. Now, our biggest day is February 20th when season tickets go on sale. People are going to see the prices are lower, and hopefully we get a little bump in season ticket sales and really get the momentum going here into spring and into the summer.
Ryan, I was going to ask you, Ryan, one of my missions, and I've told many people there in the Ward building, but we want a lot of people there. We've been saying a lot over the last month or so of this podcast to get at least one side of the stadium full, but – the other thing is with the Pirates pigskin pigout party, it's just not what it used to be. When Dave Hart was at first here, it was like when I say an event, that's an understatement. I mean, we've had the Miller Lite, Less Filling, Tastes Great guys. We had it was a carnival atmosphere. We had the Four Tops, Temptations. I mean, it was like a
really unbelievable.
80s. It was really for folks that don't know what I'm talking about. Just go on YouTube. And you can see how big of a deal it was. And I know we can't go back into the past, but I'm hoping we can get that kind of atmosphere again. I think there's nothing wrong with a spring game as far as the all of us love football, but I think that's what's going to bring more than the Bubbas, the Daves, the Kyles that are diehard fans. That's what's going to bring them to the spring game and create the atmosphere that we really need for that event.
Yeah, no, you're right, Dave. I mean, with Dave Hart, we had a meeting, that was probably about a month ago, and we showed that video. There's probably 20 of us in there and Dave Hart. Now, I will tell you, we can't probably bring back the dancing girls in the bathing suits, or I don't know if we can have an elephant do the tug of war with our football team, but there are a lot of elements that's what we want to bring back. When I say that's a great tradition.
Yeah.
And you know, it's great. I love that Pirate Fest is the same weekend because I've spent some time with the people at Uptown Greenville, and we can partner. They got a big concert on Saturday night. We're going to have a band on Friday night. We're going to do the pig walk and the contest. What we're working on right now is really some events on Saturday morning, hopefully around 9 a.m. to get people here. We do have access to Minji, so I think there's a lot of things we can do in there. Outside, we'll have another band on Saturday. We want to get all of our student athletes involved. So, and we might have one of those, what you like to call a beverage garden.
Oh,
man. I think you can count on that.
Speaking of which, that's going to be Bubba and I and Kyle have talked about. We're very excited about that in left field for this year. I think it's going to start for the LeClaire Classic for baseball, right?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Like, you spend 5 minutes around Cliff Godwin, you're ready to run through a wall. So, he and I have had some really good talks, and Cliff, he wants to create that atmosphere with students, but really everybody. I mean, you know, we've sold probably close to 1,800 season tickets for baseball, and you don't take that for granted because, listen, I've been places like the University of Tennessee. They don't sell 1,800 season tickets for baseball. So we got to build on that, and we've got to create an atmosphere that you want to stay, you know, you want to stay for the entire game. Same way with football. And, man, I mean, our baseball team, nationally ranked. We had a baseball banquet last weekend, and what I was amazed about, I mean, Dave, you're talking about 600 people are coming out, you know, on a Saturday night. That's great. I mean, you don't see that everywhere. So we're going to build on that, and you're going to see more and more things at baseball as we move along. But the most important thing is we got a really good team, a good coaching staff, so that's going to sell a lot.
Ryan, I want to mention some of the baseball, and then, Bubba, I'll let you get the next one. I wanted to, another key point I want to make, something I've harped on for the whole entire podcast. Everybody thinks I have an agenda is I'd love to see a master plan from East Carolina. What Cliff unveiled on Saturday night about the $4 million project, is that something that we can see? But like, I know the indoor practice facility, the training table, there's a lot of stuff like that. Is that something we see? Because Pirate fans are very generous, hardworking people. If you put a plan out there, I really believe that they'll start donating even more.
Yeah, one of the things that we're putting together right now is kind of a catalog of priorities that we have for all of our sports teams. And I think what is so crucial with that is, you know, when our Pirate Club, we have a great Pirate Club staff, when they go out, I mean, there might be somebody that says, you know what, I want to do something with swimming and diving. Well, what we've got to do is we've got to have, okay, let's turn to page six. Here are the things that are needs for swimming and diving. Same way with baseball and everything else. And, yeah, I mean, the baseball, the new facility that, you know, they're working on is going to be beautiful. There's a lot of, you know, main thing is finishing up this tower. We're doing a new weight room. They're finishing up these football offices. So there's a lot of things that we're working on, but I think what you got to do, Dave, is you got to give people options because you might have somebody that wants to, hey, I want to do something with baseball or I want to do something with tennis or softball, you know, an alumni or somebody that played here. So, and you're right, the Pirate Nation is it's something else. I've never been so well, felt so welcome in my life. I mean, everywhere I go is purple and gold and, you know, that's a special group, and we're going to communicate. You know, I don't know if you've read some of John's letters, but we are going to communicate and let people know what is going on within these buildings because there are no secrets, and we don't want secrets. That's why I thought John did a good job explaining, you know, the football schedule.
Yeah.
You know, we did. We talked to several schools, but it didn't work from a contractual standpoint and where they're at. And we're moving forward with William & Mary, and we're excited because William & Mary, you know, that's a school that thinks they can bring some people here to Greenville, which is good for everybody.
Yeah, you know, Bubba, when and the other thing is we had a situation where we had two schools pull out on us. It's not you guys' fault because you're brand new to the – you're coming into a situation. It's kind of like if you have a presidential administration, that's like your first crisis, if you will. I hate using that term. It's not – it's a big deal, but especially with athletic administration – but the good news forward is that we can. You guys have extended invitations to people. Maybe we can see some of those teams you couldn't get. Maybe down the line you can see them.
Yeah, we got an open. I think we have one open game in 20 that I know John and his crew, where everybody's kind of working hard on. But now, let's be honest. I mean, you've been around here, Dave, for a long time. It's not easy to get a home-and-home with East Carolina.
No.
You know, there are not a lot of teams that want to come to Greenville just because of the reputation of how this football program. But we're going to work through that, and that's something that we're excited about. And Coach Houston's been great. I mean, he's excited about opening in Raleigh against NC State. So I think moving forward, you're going to see that schedule a little bit change. And John is, I mean, we put that in the letter. He's diving into it every day, especially for men's basketball as well and women's. Obviously, we're probably going to get into a search for a women's basketball coach here soon.
Right.
I do want to mention, too, the women's basketball program has been so impressive to me this year for everything they've been through. And I met some of their players on Sunday speaking at a SAC meeting. And, you know, they're 10-3 at home. And I've just been really proud of how that team's kind of rallied together for all the adversity they've been through.
It could be an absolute disaster, but yet they've really turned it around.
Yeah.
Bubba, I know you had a question.
Yeah, and that's what, there are actually a couple things I wanted to bring up. The first was kind of getting back to the Pirate Walk. You were talking about looking at different venues, and this is something I suggested years and years ago to Terry Holland. I believe it was Terry Holland and maybe Coach Holtz. I said, rather than having on that access road there by Clark LeClaire to the back of Ward, why not drop off somewhere there, maybe right across the railroad tracks? You know, that's such a big tailgating area there. Is it Berkeley Drive that runs behind the Boneyard and in front of Elmhurst School? So that's just such a highly populated area where people don't have to go very far. And you have the road where the band could march and play the fight song, cheerleaders and all those things. So I think that's kind of a natural area where it could go in behind the South Side Expansion Project and the White Lot.
And Bubba,
yeah, we've been looking at it. And Bubba, you know, we've been looking at a couple of different things. I think one of the, I don't want to say it's a challenge, but one of the challenges is where the locker room is, like you said, in Ward. It's not the ideal place as you're finishing a walk. I do think with this new tower, you're going to have a lot of people tailgating in that area. So we've looked at that. We've looked at what you're talking about. No final decisions made, but I know it's something that what I've enjoyed is Coach Houston is 100% behind it. I mean, we are. We're going to have the pep band. We're going to have the cheerleaders. We're going to let people know where we're going to be. And then, you know, maybe we can start a new tradition at the end of the walk where we do something with our fans before the players and coaches head into the locker room.
Ryan, I was going to ask you your thoughts of we had him on before when he was the head coach of James Madison. We're huge fans of Mike Houston. You've had a lot of time to work with him now here in the short period of time that both of you have been at the university. Can you enlighten fans, people in Pirate Nation listening right now, what's it like to be behind the scenes with Mike Houston?
Well, I think what you see is what you get with Mike. I mean, he is he's an intense individual, but what I've been really impressed with, he's a great listener. He kind of lets you state your opinion, and he has an idea, but he's very detailed. Mike believes in the little things because the little things do add up to the big things. And he is a big believer in details. And I've been really impressed just with his staff and how detailed they are. I mean, I've had probably in a month, I've probably had two or three different walks with Mike on looking at different places. I mean, yesterday we spent an hour and a half, me and his staff looking at recruiting on game day, where he wants his recruiting room. So just different options. He knows what he wants. He knows how he's going to do it. But what I like about it, too, he's very confident. I mean, you know, he's not scared of the challenge ahead. And, you know, Mike, if you look at his career, I said this to somebody the other day, but, I mean, he's had to adapt everywhere he's been. I mean, I think at Citadel, didn't they run the wishbone? And then all of a sudden they go to, you know, he goes to James Madison, and now here he is, and he's not a complainer. I mean, he looks at the positive and everything. But Mike also knows that football's got to be, you know, we got to make it a priority here, and the fans want it to be a priority, and he knows how to build a program. So we're going to listen to him, but he's been great to kind of just sit and talk with and share ideas. And I know he's excited for 2 weeks from now or whenever. I think we start spring practice here soon. I've got so many dates in my mind right now that I don't
March
know when 15th. We start. Yeah, so I know he's excited about getting on the grass with his guys and seeing what he really has. But, you know, Mike's just a natural leader. And I think what people don't understand is, you know, Mike got here in December. You're going to see a lot more of him in the community. He has been just full go ahead with recruiting, trying to build a staff, trying to help with renovations. So Mike's going to be a pillar in our community with his wife Amanda moving forward.
I wanted to ask you, as far as you were talking about, so it's a week from we're recording this, the day of the game, we want people to go out tonight for Memphis. I want to ask you, as far as 1 week from today is when season tickets go on sale. Can you talk about, can you unveil now ticket prices? Is it too early? Can you give us a little maybe
insight? I will tell you that, you know, the prices are going to be significantly lower. We're still working on a few things before we put it out, but we want to make them lower. Our fans have been loyal here, and we want to reward them. You know, and you also got to, you know, you look at what the model is around the country. I mean, you have to be competitive in your conference. And I think that's one of the issues probably in the last couple of years with ECU is, you know, you move into this American Athletic Conference, when you look at some of the budgets that these schools have, you know, we're not going to get there right away. But we got, you know, we're still expected to compete, and that's a hard part. But I think our season tickets, people are going to be really happy with those, and I think just some of the improvements they're going to see. Now, going back to what Bubba says, that's only part of the battle. The battle, you know, getting them here, letting them see their concession prices, and not feeling like, man, I can't go back. It's too expensive. That can't be. We want people to say, you know what, instead of sitting on my couch in my 60-inch television, I want to go down to Dowdy Pickman. I want to go to a game. I want to take my child. It's going to be fun. That's important to me, because we can't always control wins and losses, but I know, like, for our staff, we can control the experience you have.
Like you said, Ryan, as far as along the line of concession prices, and I know you're well aware of this.
How much you want to pay for a hot dog, Bubba?
Yeah, I was going to.
He's
that's
the cheapest guy on the planet.
How much do you, how much do you want to pay? You tell me.
No, I'm going to say I'm not the cheapest guy on the planet. I'll pay $2 for something for a hot dog. I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to go to a pro game and pay four. But but you know, what I was going to reference is, like, the Atlanta Falcons here within the last three or 4 years, their fan-first pricing. And I know there's some different variables there, obviously. But is that something you think, anything like that, where we could?
We've been looking at. You know, you're obviously dealing with your vendor. But, no, I mean, Bubba, I've got something on my phone that showed. I don't know. They kind of did it at the Super Bowl as well. The price at the Super Bowl were unbelievably low. So what we'd like to do here in a basketball game in the next couple of weeks, haven't really – finalize it yet, is try to do like a dollar hot dogs, dollar popcorn, something to try it out and let see how it goes. I know it's always been popular. I mean, it's always going to be popular when you can get a dollar hot dog. I used to go minor league baseball game in Jacksonville, and my favorite game was when it was like, you know, dollar ice cream, dollar hot dog, dollar burgers.
Dave wants Thirsty Thursday.
Dave, I didn't want to say, I didn't know if this was a children's program, but yeah, Thirsty Thursday is something I thoroughly enjoyed. So all that's being looked at, and, you know, I want fans to hold me accountable, hold our staff accountable, because we do got to make changes. I mean, we can't just keep doing, you know, what we're doing. So those decisions are going to be made here in the coming months. But what's great is, like, John Gilbert, he's involved in all of it. I mean, he's excited. He understands. Here's the thing, guys. When you had 50,000 people in your stadium, 2009, 2010, that's what's exciting, because you see that the passion and the fans are there. We have to get them back. And there's a lot of variables that go into getting them back, and part of it is the experience. So it would be different if I'm sitting here telling you we averaged, 30,000 or whatever last year. Man, we got to really get back to 50. And we've never been there. We've been there. Passion is here, but we got to win on the field. I mean, you know, let's not sugarcoat it. And then we got to do stuff to make the experience better for everybody.
Before we let you go, I know where you've been gracious with your time. But one thing that drives me crazy, and even though I'm an old dog, I love the new tricks of technology. One of the things that drives me crazy, if you can pass along to everyone there, is the Wi-Fi is not very good. And I hope that we can make that a top priority, because not me, because I'm a diehard fan, but there's a lot of people that any way we can improve technology to get people there, especially the people even younger than Bubba.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, my email is on the website, and I've gotten some unbelievable emails from Pirate Nation. And, you know, my email is Robinson and then letter RY18 at ecu.edu. Feel free to email me with any suggestions. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday that emailed me, and I actually picked up the phone and called him, because he had a really good idea on something we were talking about doing for a football game. So, and I'm going to put out a call for this. We need a pirate ship. So if you have a pirate ship, reach out to me.
Oh my God.
I'd like to bring, you know, we've talked about it. We'd like to bring a pirate ship, you know, to Dowdy Ficklin. They're not easy to find, Dave. Let me just tell you. they look easy when you watch them on TV, but that is something we are on the lookout for as a pirate ship.
Ryan, as you may have seen in videos, we had a small one back in the Skip Holtz era that we came out of.
I want a bigger one, Bubba.
I think we had to get rid of that due to fire laws.
Yeah, but I think we have a way. We've discussed where there's some ways we can bring one back. And, you know, one of the first things Coach Houston gave to me on my first day here was, you know, the legend of the East Carolina Pirates about Blackbeard. I know he looks at it all the time, and I've read it. And I would love to have a pirate ship on Dowdy Ficklin because I think there's some different things we can do as long as it's movable and not stationary just for fire code reasons. So if anybody on Pirate Nation is listening and they know somebody that has a pirate ship or one that needs fixed up, feel free to reach out to me.
That'll be great. We'll have to leave you there. I know that we've gone a little over time. Thank you.
No, you're fine.
Appreciate
anything
you, so
you guys need. And Dave, I think we're going to get a Bubba Burger on the concession this year.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds
we'll do $1.50 Bubba Burger.
Yeah, we'll be sure to promote that on the Sports Objective.
And Bubba, I have that little headband I want to give you and is it your daughter?
It's my son. It's funny you bring that up, Ryan. I'm impressed. You must have a memory like me because most people tell me with my memory I'm sick. But but yeah, that's funny you remember that because that game's been 3 or 4 weeks ago.
No, I don't forget that. So I have it. So whenever I see you next and. I appreciate everything you guys are doing. If I can ever be of help, please reach out and let me know.
I'll very likely be down on Sunday for the Radford ball game and then maybe some of the basketball game as well.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, and y'all let me know if I can ever do anything for you.
All right, sir. Go Pirates. Ryan. Take care.
Hey, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Ryan Robinson. A great visit with him, and hopefully we can have him on as much as possible. He's got a lot of duties, but, man, that guy just brings lots of optimism and excitement and the drive that he has, the passion that he has for his job, and he does a great job. Appreciate you, Ryan, very much, and again, don't be a stranger. Appreciate the visit. Look forward to having you back on again soon. Maybe probably the looks like maybe we can have you back on around the spring game, something like that. Let's give some tip-off points. We'll do our second part, if you will, of the Memphis Tigers preview as we have that tonight again at 7 o'clock. Of course, Joe Dooley, the head coach, his record at ECU is 66-66, fifth season overall. His overall record is 180-124, 10th season as the head basketball coach, and of course 0-1 against Memphis that we had last month, and that was actually recently in Memphis there. Pirates had a disappointing loss last time. Let's look at the some tip-off points. ECU begins a two-game homestand, as we mentioned, tonight versus Memphis before hosting Tulsa on Sunday, and the Pirates will play three of their next four games at home and close out the season with two of its final three games on the road. In fact, ECU looks to get a series split tonight with Memphis as the Tigers defeated the Pirates 78-72 at the FedEx Forum last month. Pirates are 3-5 against Memphis after joining the American Athletic Conference, including an 88-85 overtime win in Greenville last season. And if you remember, Sean Williams torched the Nets for 30 points. He was 6-for-10 behind the arc and 8-of-9 at the free throw line while playing all 45 minutes. Isaac Fleming, he posted a triple-double. Do you remember that? 11 points, 10 assists, and 11 rebounds. In fact, five Pirates scored in the double figures in the first meeting of the season between the teams. In fact, if you remember, Jaden Gardner scored a game-high 18 points. Seth O'Day added 14. KJ Davis and Fleming had 12 each, and Williams netted 10. Davis grabbed a career-high 12 rebounds while Lede snatched 10 boards. Pirates built a 15-point lead, 33-18 in the first half at Memphis, but last month, and then led for more than 27 minutes. The Tigers cut double-digit leads, the double-digit lead to four at halftime, and outscored the Pirates 10 in the second half, ending the game on a 14-7 run. Pirates have won two out of the last three games inside Williams Arena and Menjis Coliseum against Memphis. The Pirates are coming off a 72-68 overtime loss at UCF on UCF on Saturday, Sunday rather. Fleming led ECU at 14 points. Williams added 13, with Gardner, Davis, and Gardner scoring 11 points each. In fact, get this: ECU shot 57.7% in the first half and built an 11-point halftime lead. As we told you earlier in the podcast, before USF got hot in the second half and shot 61.1% from the field, ECU held the Bulls without a field goal for the final 11 minutes of the game. And but USF converted 10 out of 14 in overtime to earn the victory. By the way, Jaden Gardner ranks second overall in the conference with 8.8 rebounds per game, while averaging a league-best 9.8 rebounds per game in the American Athletic Conference play. He ranks fourth overall in the conference with 17.7 points per game. And we'll see if he can get Rookie of the Year. I don't know, but we'll see about that. Fleming has become a more offensive contributor, scoring double figures in the six of the last nine games after he scored double figures only three times in ECU's first 14 games of the season. Isaac's really turned it on offensively. That's great. Sean Williams is one of the five players in the conference to average more than 34 minutes per game. He's averaging 34.4 minutes per game. He ranks ninth in the American with 2.3 three-pointers per game, and he had four out of six threes at USF on Sunday. And Bubba, I tell you what, a lot of great things to talk about. I know you wanted to add some more stats, and we'll let you do that now.
Yeah, Dave, we really appreciate Ryan Robinson coming on. He's someone who was very generous with his time, and you can tell the guy just gets it. I liked what I had heard in previous interviews when he had been on Pirate Radio on the Brian Bailey Show and also PRL, and he had also been, I believe, on 94.3 with the P-Man. But Ryan Robinson, you can tell he's just a tremendous hire. He has that previous relationship from the University of Tennessee with John Gilbert. So those two are on the same page. And I think ECU Athletics, with those two and some of the other hires we've made, are in excellent hands. And that's so refreshing after everything that we've gone through in recent years. Yeah, Dave, I just want to reiterate what you've said time and again, how thankful we are for all our listeners. The month of January was a tremendous one. We had right at 4,000 listens, just shy of that 4,000 mark. The month of February, despite being 3 days shorter, we're on pace right now to blow January's mark out of the water, which shows the growth that we're making. And I'm just so thankful for everyone tuning in and so humbled that you enjoy our content. Now I just want to give you a heads up on some of the podcasts we have headed your way. We'll be talking to the longtime head baseball coach of Coastal Carolina, Gary Gilmore. Coach Gilmore took the Chanticleers, of course, to the national title in 2016. He's just done a remarkable job there down in Conway. We'll also catch up with Ed Watkins, who is, of course, a former ECU football player from the mid-90s under Coach Steve Logan. He had a long career in NASCAR after he left ECU, and he is someone who can shed some light on this coming weekend's Daytona 500. And last but certainly not least, we'll catch up with Dr. Gary Overton, the winningest head baseball coach in ECU history. Coach O, of course, serves as the color analyst now on the Pirate IMG network and does a tremendous job alongside Corey Glore. And also on that podcast with Coach O, we'll hear from a pitcher who has appeared in more games as an ECU Pirate than any other hurler in Pirate history, and that is Seth Simmons. Seth ranks number two all-time on the all-time saves list, and it'll be great, or it was great, excuse me, catching up with Seth Simmons. So those are some of the things we have headed your way. If you enjoy our podcast, give us a five-star rating wherever you listen, be it Apple Podcast, Audio Boom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, you name it. We're pretty much everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.
Thank you very much, Bubba. Appreciate you very much, as always. And a job well done, my friend. He's been working really hard, folks. I tell you, behind the scenes, he and Kyle and myself, the three of us individually together, we're working really hard. And we're going to prove this podcast. You know, some people are wondering, yes, we're working on the sound as something that between three of us, in three different places, three different schedules, three full-time jobs, married, children, et cetera. We've got a lot of things that we have to iron out, but we are going to work on that. We've got a lot of great things coming up, a lot of live podcasts through 2019, a lot of cool stuff. And Bubba was telling you about the content there. It's going to be tremendous. Want to remind you folks as well before we go, thank you so much, Ryan Robinson. Appreciate the job he's doing at East Carolina. Make sure that you, when you see him, please thank him for being at East Carolina. He's a great get for East Carolina, a real gem of a person. And I look forward to a great relationship with East Carolina, and we look for a great relationship with him on the podcast. I want to remind you how you can find us. You can just simply like our Facebook page. You have Facebook page. You can search us on Twitter, and you can actually follow us as @TheSportsOBJ. On Instagram as TheSportsObjective is how you can follow us. And, of course, you can email us. Our email address for the show is @TheSportsOBJ, so @gmail.com. So definitely do that. Look forward to a big victory tonight with the Pirates. Good luck to Joe Dooley and company. For Bubba Rosenbaum, and of course, once again, thanks to our guest Ryan Robinson from ECU. I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.